Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Kama Daf Tes Vov. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to Option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the Shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 6 lines from the top of Daf Tes Vov. We open with a quote from the Mishnah, V'hanoshim bechlal hanezek, that women are included within the rules that pertain to laws of damage. Mino hanimini, from where do we know that if one causes damage to a woman, conversely, if a woman creates damage, that there is guilt. Omar of Yudah Omara, V'chein Tona Debe Rabbi Yishmael. We have a Tanaic source, and we also note that this is number one out of 3 sources that in which we will see that we equate women with men. Before we continue reading, we should glance at the side. A crown shape appears in our margin under our Nosei/Mivneh heading, the Nosei topic heading, Mivneh structural note. We indicate that this crown shape highlights Gimel Mekoros V'Nosim, 3 sources and topics, Shebohem HaTorah Hishva Ishal Ish, where we find the Torah compares women to men. The Gemara will then, in what we have in our markings as a long point a bit later, a necessity of the Torah. Lomali kol echom amikos. What do I need each one of these sources? In other words, would it not have been sufficient for the Torah to show how men, how women are compared to men? In one category, and on my own, I would have figured out that they are compared one to the other in all categories. And as we indicated, the Gemara will say that we have a trichusa, the necessity of the Torah to teach each one separately, for I would not have been able to figure one out from the other. So now the first source, it reads, Omar Kro. A pasuk appears dealing with the obligation of bringing a sacrifice for someone who stole and then swore falsely that they did not have the object. The pasuk says, "Ish o isha ki asu mikol chatois adam, hishva hakosuv isha liish lechol einshin shebetorah." In the pasuk, you see, it says, "Ish o isha." Man or woman is compared to man regarding this topic, and the Gemara itself calls it l'chol oinshin shebetorah, regarding all punishments that one is to receive, so that if a man is deemed guilty of receiving a punishment, so too a woman. Debei Reb Elozer Tana. And these are the laws that you shall place in front of them, the Torah says. In front of them includes everybody, men and women. Men and women are compared, are equal, regarding all dinim in the Torah. We'll see later the significant meaning of the word dinim, as well as the word oinshim. For the time being, we'll just translate that the word dinim has to do with laws. And Debei Chizkia, or I should say Rebbe Chizkia ve Rebbe Yosi Haglili Tana, they teach the following. Omar Kro. This pasuk deals with the payment made by the owner of an ox that killed a person. And it says, Vehemis ish o isha, and the animal killed a man or a woman, indicating no difference between them. Hishva kosuv, isha leish, lecho misas shebetorah. The Torah compares women to men regarding all matters of death in the Torah. So we have three phrases, three words, Einshim, Dinim, and Misos. These are what we've highlighted with our crown markings. And now we have the need of the Torah to spell out this comparison, this equality, if you will, in all of these categories. Utsrichi, and I need to be taught each one. The E Ashmina Kamaisa, had we been taught just the first one. Hosam Hu Dechos Rachmono Allah. There, the Torah has compassion upon the offender, and in this case, upon the woman. Kihechi Deteve Lo Kapora. That posuk that we cited in the first source where the first crown appeared, it had to do with the bringing of a sacrifice for someone who had sworn falsely. The bringing of the sacrifice affords the owner atonement, forgiveness for having sinned. So it could be that in matters of affording an individual atonement, there the Torah has compassion for the woman no less than a man. Avol, we continue in the Gemara, dinim. Dinim have to do with laws, and specifically laws involving commerce. I would have thought, had I not been taught regarding dinim, their equality, I would have thought ish debar maso matan in. Men who are frequent, who are constantly involved with commercial transaction, so they're covered by the dinim of the Torah, the laws that apply to commerce. Ishalo, but women are less prevalent in the world of commercial transactions. Someone might cite the pasuk kol kavoda bas melech panima. It's not the way of women to be involved in very public settings, which characterizes the commercial markets. This is, of course, all that I would have thought. But in reality, there is no difference. Women are equal to men with regard to all laws that cover commerce. V'yashmin and dinim, and had the Torah taught that area of equality not the other areas, I wouldn't have been able to extrapolate from dinim, because there I would have thought the Torah is providing a special dispensation, ki hechi detevei lo chiyusa, so that a woman would be able to provide for herself. Chiyusa literally means to have life. A person who needs to purchase food needs to sell items in order to get the money for the food. A person has to pay rent. A person has to buy clothing in order for a person to survive. So he has to, he inevitably has to be participatory in commercial activity. So that, so as a result, women will be covered by the dinim of the Torah. Aval kapora, but as far as achieving atonement, if the Torah would not have spelled out that she's subject to receiving the atonement referred to above, I would have thought ish debar mitzvah in, ish delav bas mitzvah lo. I would have thought that a man who is obligated in more mitzvos, he gets the provision of atonement, but women who have less mitzvah obligation are not afforded with that possibility. So the Torah says not so, that women are afforded with the possibility of kapara as well. And had the Torah spelled out 1 and 2, Hocha Mishum Kapora, Vahocha Mishum Chiyusa. In these two areas, I understand the inclusion of women like men. One for atonement, the other for maintenance, for living, Avaleinian Katla. But as far as payment made in the event of death as a result of a murderous animal, which is the topic of kofar, the third topic where we highlighted misos, I would have thought, ish de bar mitzvah mishalem kofar, a man who's killed, so there, payment for to the family, to the heirs, is mandatory. A man who is obligated in more mitzvah fulfillment, so his death generates the need to pay upon his death. Isha lo, but a woman, I would have on my own thought, maybe not. Ve'i ashmeinan kofer, and had the Torah taught that in the case of a woman's death at the hands of a murderous animal, there payment must be made, no less than in the case of a man's death. Why? The Ika Ibud Neshama, there's the loss of life. Avalhani Tarti, but the first two categories, the Leka Ibud Neshama, where there's no issue of loss of life, Amalo, maybe women are not like men. Tzricha, therefore, it's necessary to teach the equality in those two additional areas as well. Hanizik v'hamazik b'tashlumen. The Mishnah tells us that the victim and the perpetrator are involved with payment. That's a literal translation, and it's also a bit vague. What does it mean that the victim is involved in payment? The Gemara introduces a topic, and in the course of the discussion, we will be able to shed more light on that vague phrase. Before we learn the Gemara, we glance at the side where we have a topic heading, the nosei, palga nizka, which in Hebrew would mean chatzi nezek, half damage payment. Half damage payment, payment for half damages, is made when a docile type animal creates damage in an unusual fashion. We call this Karen, Tam. Tam is a term used for a short tom, a docile ox, an ox that hasn't demonstrated its propensity for damage. The Torah says half payment is made. How do we categorize that half payment? Knasa or mamona? Is it viewed as a knas payment or a mamon payment? These are terms that I find difficult to translate, or maybe more accurately, the translation doesn't shed much light on what is meant by the terms, but legal manifestations of these phenomena make it much clearer what they are in fact referring to. So are we to categorize chatzi nezek as knas, which is often translated as a fine? It's a payment that doesn't reflect the actual value of what happened. Or do we view it as a mamon payment? As I said, I alluded to the fact that there are legal differences between categorizing something as knas versus mamon. One example that comes to mind immediately is if an individual who is guilty of something that would warrant paying knas, if he confesses to it before witnesses come to tell us about his guilt, but rather he confesses it on his own, he will be exempt from a knas payment. If something is viewed as a mamon payment, so his confession doesn't result in his exemption. Anyway, this is a machloikis Rav Papa v'Rav Huna v'Rav Yeshua. We will be using several markings in the course of the Gemara. The trapezoid or volcano shape highlights the word kosavar. Havlatas sva roisehen will be highlighting their respective thinking, and the house marking will appear as nisyonos, attempts lechiach mamona have, attempts to show that it's an actual mamon type payment. And now we turn to the Gemara. Itmar. Palga nizka, Rav Pop Omar, Mamona, Rav Huna Rav Yeshua Omar, Knasa. Rav Pop Omar Mamona, Rav Papa says that the half payment is a mamon payment. If, let us say, a damage valued at $200 took place, the offender will have to pay $100. Kosovar, Rav Papa is of the opinion that Rav Papa, who said that it's a mamon payment, holds stam shvarim lav b'cheskas shimur kaiman. Your basic ox, your average run of the mill ox, is an entity that is prone to causing damage. The Rashi in the upper third of the page says lav b'cheska shimur kamishur gilin b'negicha tzrichan shmira. They're regular in goring and they therefore need to be watched. And the Gemara continues, ubedin hu deboy lishlme kule. Technically speaking, by letter of the law, the first time an animal gores, the first time an ox gores, the owner should pay full damages. V'rachmanahu dechos alei, the Torah, though, has mercy, has compassion, and provides a leniency for him to pay only half. Da'akati lo ayayet tuwe. It hasn't yet become a proven damager. Ayayid is from similar to the word mu'ad, which indicates a track record of three gorings. That hasn't taken place yet. And as a result, the Torah offers this special dispensation toward the owner. You pay only half. After the third goring, then it's become a shor mu'ad, you have to pay full. But as far as Rav Papa is concerned, by letter of the law, a regular mamon payment, a regular full mamon payment should have been made. Therefore, when the Torah says pay only half, you're dealing with a mamon type payment, with the understanding that the Torah is giving him a discount. The offender is getting a discount. Rav Huna b'Rav Yeshua Amar Knasa. The need of the owner to pay chatzi nezek is a knas. In other words, it's a type of payment that you wouldn't have necessarily expected the offender to have to make. Kosovar, stam shvorim b'cheskas shimur kaimi. He's of the opinion that the run-of-the-mill ox is docile. It doesn't have the propensity for goring, and it's becheska shimur would mean that you don't have to provide special watching for it. Ubedinu delo lishlam klal. Technically speaking, the first time it damages, you wouldn't have to pay anything. It's so out of the ordinary, we'll say, as far as Rav Huna Rav Yeshua is concerned. Rachmanu de Kansei, the Torah, though, imposes a stringency upon him and fines him. Hinechi delinteray the turi, so as to motivate the owner to watch his animal. Tanan, hanizik v'mazik b'tashlumen. We have this as presented here as a long point, and we indicated earlier that the house marking are attempts to show that it's a mamon payment. The Mishnah said, hanizik v'mazik b'tashlumen. Bishlomo l'man d'omar palga nizka mamona. According to the approach that says that the half nezek payment is a mamon payment, is a straightforward financial obligation. It's not the payment for something out of the ordinary, if you will. So if you say that chasi nezek, palganiska, is a mamon payment, which was Rav Papa's approach, then things work out well. Hainu d'shayach nizak b'tashlumin. We can understand the Mishnah that said that the victim is involved in the payment. What do we mean by that, the victim is involved in the payment? We said before that if you hold chatzi nezek mamon, by letter of the law, the victim should have received full compensation. But he doesn't. He, in a sense, pays out. He loses half of what he really should have received. So from the fact that the victim, is not getting full compensation, which he should have received, again, technically speaking, by letter of the law, he is also involved in a form of payment. His own loss of half of the damages is considered as if he's paying out. So the Mishnah says, Hanizik v'mazik b'tashlumen, that would make perfect sense if you hold chatzi nezek is mamon. Elo l'man d'omar palga nizka k'nosa, but according to Rav Yehuna of Rav Yeshua, who said that chatzi nezek is categorized as knas, what did we say about knas in this context? We said, technically speaking, nothing should have been paid. An animal is b'cheskas shimur kaimi. So when the victim gets anything, even if it's half damages, that's a bonus for him. Hashto delav didei shokil. Mind you, he gets money from the attacker. In other words, he gets money that's not his. The offender pays him money. B'tashlumin isei. Are you going to suggest that he, the victim, is also involved with paying? He's getting free money, so to speak. He's getting something that intellectually he shouldn't have been receiving anything. Rather, the Torah fined the offender. Listen, we gotta motivate you to watch your animal a little better. So pay if it damages. That's fine. But why would you say that the nizak is involved in payment? So the Mishnah presents a difficulty for the approach of Rav Huna, Rav Yeshua. The Gemara says, Lo nitzricha, elo lapas nevela. The idea of the nizak being betashlumen has relevance with regard to Rav Huna, Rav Yeshua as well. And that has to do with pas nevela. Well, this is a term we've seen in the past. And that has to do with the depreciation, the erosion of value, the loss in value of an animal carcass between the point of its death and and the owner appearing in court. So there's a certain amount of depreciation that sets in, and that has to be absorbed by the victim, by the owner who lost his animal, whose animal was killed. The fact that we had in our previous shiur, we used an example of an animal that was worth $100, and at its death, as an animal carcass, it's worth 50. But as time went on and it decomposed, and it was brought, and the case was brought to court, it went down to a value of 20. So the 50 loss from the point of its last breath till it was killed, so it decreased in value by $50. So that has to be compensated for. And if you talk about Chatzi Nezek, so $25 would be paid. But the additional depreciation of body decomposition between point of death and a court appearance, that is something that the Nizak will not be compensated for. So he'll get back the animal carcass worth 20, but that the loss from 50 down to 20, he won't get any compensation for that. So in that sense, the Nizak is also involved with Tashlum and with paying out. The Gemara asks, Pchasnevela hotonale resha. Pchasnevela was already taught. Tashlume nezek melame shabailim metaplim benevela. That was in the Mishnah, and we see that that was already referred to. That the term Tashlume nezek means that the bailim is metaplim benevela, which, without translating or getting into any details, it refers to this point that the owner of the dead animal loses the value of depreciation from point of death till court appearance. So I don't need to be taught pas nevela. Word pas, from like the word pachos. Pachos means less. In this case, it refers to the depreciation of the nevela, of the dead animal. Do I need to be taught that point in our Mishnah if it's already been taught? The Gemara says yes. Chada b'tam v'chada b'muad utzricha. One is in a case where the attacking animal was a tam, and the other source deals with the case of an attacking animal that is muad, that it's already proven itself to be a damaging animal. Why do I need to be taught both? That in both cases, the victim must absorb the additional depreciation. Utsricha, I need to be taught both. The Iyash Minon Tam, had the Torah taught me just about the Tam, Mishum Dakati Lo Ayid. There, we don't insist on the owner of the attacking animal to compensate for Pas Nevela, because his animal hasn't become a Mu'ad yet. Avo Mu'ad Eimolo. But the owner of an animal that's Mu'ad, there I would not say that he gets that, I would say there he doesn't benefit from the leniency we just mentioned. V'yashmin and Mu'ad, and had we taught that in the case of Mu'ad, the owner doesn't have to pay that additional Pas Nevela loss, Mishum de Komishalim Kule, because after all is said and done, the Mu'ad owner, he is paying full damages. There's no Chatzi Nezek in his case. He's paying full damages anyway. So that additional, we'll say, minor loss of depreciation from point of death till Hamoda Bedin, till the appearance in court, or Gemardin, that small additional depreciation, we don't expect the offender to pay out. Aval Tam Emolo, but a Tam owner isn't paying full damages to begin with, so maybe he would be chayev to cover the Pas Nevela. Therefore, Tzricha, I need to be told in that case as well that the Pas Nevela is something that the victim must absorb. Toshma. Ma bein tam lemuad. What is the difference between tam and muad? Shatam misham chatzi nezek migufo, umuad mishalim nezek sholem minu aliyah. The tam pays half damages based on the value of the animal itself, and a muad pays full damages, a complete full damages regardless of the value of the animal. He pays out of his own bank account. That's minu aliyah. The word aliyah is, for our purposes, is a word that means pays full, unqualified full payment, as opposed to payment migufo, where the payment is bound by the value of the animal itself. So that if you have an animal that's worth $100 that created $1,000 of damage, the chatzi nezek is going to be limited by the value of the offending animal. There's more on the topic of how we calculate chatzi nezek migufo, but just for illustrative purposes, I'm using this simplistic example. The mu'ad, however, if it's a $100 attacking animal that created $1,000 of damage and it's a mu'ad animal, he'll pay the full $1,000. The im isa, if it were so that chatzi nezek, that a tam pays, is knas, listening to me, then this source should have taught additionally the following information. Tam eino mishalim api atzmo, mu'ad mishalim api atzmo. The tam, who pays chatzi nezek, if you call chatzi nezek a knas, we mentioned earlier, that is a kind of payment that if the offender confesses, he is thereby exempted. He does not have to pay if it's al piatzmo. Al piatzmo means that he confessed on his own. Muad, however, is mishalim al piatzmo. So we have a Tanaic source that states the differences between tam and muad and doesn't state this. Why not? It must be because the tam who pays chatzi nezek pays al piatzmo just like the muad. The Gemara says not so. Now here we're using a triangle in alternating directions to make it easier to follow the give and take. So under the Mivneh heading that you see on the side of the Gemara, we call this a Ma'akav. Ma'akav is to keep track. With the triangle facing up, Tshuva L'mandomar Knosa, an answer that will benefit the opinion of Rav Huna Rebbe Yeshua, the inverted triangle leaves us with a difficulty. I'm using the word difficulty as opposed to the word refutation. Refutation is much more final than just leaving us with a difficulty. In the meantime, it seems that we have a problem with the opinion of chatzi nezek knas, because the source would have thought there's that additional difference that chatzi nezek will not pay al piatzmo, and muad will pay al piatzmo. The Gemara says that's not a problem. For Rav Huna, Rav Yeshua, Tana Vashir. The Tana teaches this difference, but left out, there are other differences. And what would be an example of another difference? What we just said, that Tam is not Misham HaPiyatzel, because Chatzi Nezek is Knas. The Gemara responds with a question, though. My Shir, the High Shir. This is standard Talmudic procedure. We've mentioned this often in the past, that a Tanaic source, if you're going to say it's incomplete, it has to be incomplete by leaving out two examples, two pieces of information, not just one. If you have a source that leaves out just one piece of information, you have to say it was deliberately left out. In order for us to defend Rav Huna, we have to say that the issue of Eino Mishalim al Piatzmo was not deliberately left out. It could have been taught here, but the source is simply incomplete. And how do you show that a source is incomplete? By showing that there are two or more items that could have been taught that were left out. Hence the Gemara says, My Shir the High Shir. What else was left out that you're saying this piece of information was left out? Answer, Chatzi, Shir Chatzi Koifer. Let's go immediately to Rashi. Chatzi Koifer, Mu'ad Shehemis Es Odom, Ashor HaMu'ad, that killed a person. Mishalim Koifer the Yorshin pays an amount to the heirs. The Koifer is that amount that's paid. V'tam Afilu Chatzi Koifer Lo Mishalim. If a tam animal killed someone, there will not be a chatzi kofer payment at all. So that would be an additional difference between tam and muad. So just like that was left out of the source, the issue of Eino Misham Al Pi Atzmo was also left out. The Gemara says, but this isn't a leave out. If the point concerning Chatzi Kofer is what you think was left out, it's not left out at all. Ha'amani Rabbi Yossi Aglilihi. This source is authored by Rabbi Yossi Aglili. D'yomar Tam Mishalem Chatzi Kofer. That a Tam does pay Chatzi Kofer. And that is, that Chatzi Kofer is similar to the Chatzi Nezek payment that was mentioned in the source. So it was already, that information was already included in the source as it is. Therefore, what other information was left out? You want to say that the Tam Eino Mishalim Al Piyatzma was left out and thereby justifying Rav Huna Rebbe Yeshua? Very nice. But what else was left out? And we don't have an example of something else that was left out. So we leave this source as representing a difficulty for Rav Huna Rebbe Yeshua. However, it doesn't, it seems from the fact that Gemara continues his discussion, that doesn't constitute a refutation. You could probably argue that who says that this source is necessarily according to Rabbi Yossi Haglili. But whatever the case is, the Gemara goes on. Toshma. We mentioned before the house is an indicator of an attempt to prove, like Rav Popo, that its Chatzi Nezek is a Momon payment. The Gemara continues at the top of Amud Beis. A man says, Hamis Shori es Ploni. O Shoro Shel Ploni. A man comes forth and reveals to us, my animal killed some person, Ploni, or my animal killed someone's ox belonging to so-and-so. Hareze mishalem al pi atzmo. He has to pay based on his confession. My lav betam. Is it not so that this source is talking about a shor tam that committed these murders, these deaths? And the owner has to pay on his own word. What does that show us? It shows that it's a momon payment. Because if the Chatzi Nezek that a Tam pays was Knas, he wouldn't have to pay on his own word. He'd be exempt. Lo, b'muad. This source is talking about a Shor Hamuad. Hence, it has no relevance to the Machlokas Rav Papa and Rav Huna Rav Yeshua. They were talking about the Chatzi Nezek payment, which is made by a Shor Tam. We raise a question though. Avol tamai, according to what you're saying, that this source is dealing with a shor hamuad, what would then be the case of a tam? Hochi nami de'ei misham al pi atzmo. Are you going to try to argue that he won't have to pay if upon his own confession, because it's a knas? Well, if that were so, Aditoni Seifa, instead of the Seifa teaching me a different situation of a contrasting case of Ein Mishalem Al Pi Atzmo, and it teaches me the case of Hamis Shorias Avdoi Shel Ploni, Ein Mishalem Al Pi Atzmo. Man says, my ox killed someone's slave. The Torah says that when an ox kills a slave, the amount that has to be paid is 30 pieces of silver. The 30 represents an amount that has no reflection on the value of the Eved. Even if the Eved was a sickly, incapable individual of performing any action, his death will necessitate the offender to pay 30. That's a knas payment. So the seifa of the source from on top, the seifa, the latter part of that source, speaks about an exemption. When you come forth and confess that your animal killed so-and-so's slave, he does not have to pay. Now, according to Rav Huna Rebbe Yehoshua, that Chatzi Nezek is Knas, Why, and as a result, would not have to pay al piatzmo. Why does the source teach about an animal killing a slave? Let the distinction between meshalim al piatzmo versus einu meshalim al piatzmo, let it be taught within the topic of a man saying, my animal killed so-and-so, leaving the case of the slave out of the discussion. As follows, if Rav Huna Brev Yeshua is correct in his approach, the source should have read thusly, Bamed Vamumurim, when is payment made according to your own confession? That's Bemuad. That's if your animal is a Muad. Avol Betam, if your animal is a Tam, Eino Meshalim Al Piatzmo, then you don't have to pay once you confess prior to witnesses showing up. Now it doesn't, but as we just to repeat the point, but the source doesn't make that distinction. In order to show us exemption based on al piatzmo, it has to go into an outside example. It must be then that the shor tam, just like a shor muad, does mishalim al piatzmo. That would be a problem for Rav Huna Braid or Rav Yeshua. The Gemara responds, no problem. Kula b'muad kamayri. The source above, from the top, and the Hamish Shorius Avdo section, the Seifa, the whole source was talking about laws pertaining to a Shor HaMuad. And within the category of Shor HaMuad, when it comes to the animal killing a regular individual or someone's animal, he has to pay even though he confesses. When a Shor HaMuad kills someone's slave, even though it's a Shor HaMuad, the slave payment is a knas, he will not have to pay al piatzmo. Toshma, we go back to our basic the machlokis when Rav Huna, Brev Yeshua, and Rav Papa, can we conclude from the following that the Chatzi Nezek is a mamon payment? It says, Zeha klal, kol ha-mishalim yoyser al-mashe, hizik eno mishalim al-pi-atzmo. The following is the rule, says the source. Anyone who pays more than the value of the damage, any payment like that, where you're paying more than the value of the damage, eno mishalim al-pi-atzmo. You don't have to pay if you come forth and confess. What are examples of paying more than the value of the damage? We gave an example before of, imagine a slave that's basically worthless. He is sickly, incapable of doing any work. If he is killed by an animal, 30 pieces of silver have to be paid to the owner of the slave. So the rule is, if you're paying more, if it's a type of payment that could be more than the actual value of the damage, and you come forth on your own and confess it, you don't have to pay. You're exempted. My love, can we not infer from this source? If you are paying less than the value of the damage, you will have to pay upon your confession. What does that show us? That chatzi nezek, half damages, which is obviously less than the value of the damage, is a mamon payment. No, that's not the case. In other words, the way we inferred from the source, resulting in a question on Rav Huna Brev Yeshua, is not the way to make the inference. Rather, the following. Ha kema shehizik mishalim. That would be the way to make the inference. If, let's go over the whole point. The source said, if you're paying a type of payment that's more than the value of the damage, then you will not pay al piatzmo. But if it's in accordance with the value of the damage, kema shehizik, equal to the value of the damage, then you will pay al piatzmo. Then your confession will not lead to an exemption, because that's a straightforward mammon payment. Avo pochos mai, well, and so what about paying less? Hachi nami delo mishalem. Are you going to say then that if you're going to be paying less, then you would not have to pay al pi atzmo? The only time you pay al pi atzmo if it's kemoshe hizik. But if it's more or it's less, you will not have to pay. Well, ihachi, if that were so, that if paying less, you don't pay al pi atzmo because chatzi nezik is knas, and knas you don't pay when you confess. Ihachi aditoni, instead of teaching, this is a repeat of the quote we had above. I should say, correct myself. Instead of teaching the following, Zeakla Koha Mishalim Yoiser Al Mashizik Eno Mishalim Al Piasmo. This is the quote that we had by the most recent house marking. Instead of teaching the law that way, namely, the rule is that if you're paying more than you have to pay, then you don't have to pay if you come forth on your own and confess. Well, instead of teaching it that way, listening, it should have taught the following. Ze haklal, kol she'eino mishalem kemo shehizik. Any payment that's not equal to the actual value of the damage, you will not have to pay al pi atzmo if you confess. If it would have stated it that way, demashma pochos umashma yoser, that implies if it's more than the value of the damage or less than the value of the damage, which would include then chatzi nezik would not have to pay al pi atzmo. If the Tanaic would have read like this, then chatzi nezik would have been included in eino mishalem al pi atzmo, because the source would have been telling me any payment that's not equal to the value of the damage, it's not equal. It might be more, it might be less, but it's not equal. He doesn't pay al pi atzmo. Tiufta. So this would then appear to be this situation, the fact that the source did not say ze haklal kol she'eino mishalem kemo she'hizik, this then would be a refutation against the opinion that says chatzi nezik is knas. The only time that we see exemption is if you're going to, it's a payment that would be greater than that which you have to pay. But if it's a payment less, you will have to pay al pi atzmo. That's the way things stand at this particular moment in time. Then, if that's the case, we have a problem for Rav Huna Rav Yeshua, who said that chatzi nezek is knas. So this would be a tiufta, a refutation of the opinion of chatzi nezek knas. V'hilchasa, and we rule palgo nizka knasa. Chatzi nezek is knas. Now, if your eyebrows are rising because we said something that seemed quite contradictory, you're not imagining things. We said something that sounds contradictory, and the Gemara itself is well aware of that. And it says, Tiyufta ve'elchaza, you are refuting that opinion, and then you're ruling like it. The Gemara says, that's exactly what we are saying. We are saying that in terms of the text, the reading of the source, it would appear that we have a refutation of chatzi nezek knas. But I say it only appears that way. Why did we suggest that would be a refutation? Because if chatzi nezek was really knas, then the source would have been reread. It would have read, Zeaklal kol she'eino mishalem kemo she'hizik. The Gemara, though, says it couldn't have read like that. The Gemara says, in meaning, yes, we have a tiufta, but we're also, at the same time, going to rule that chatzi nezek is a knas. Taimo mai havei tiufta. What's the reason that you said that this source would seem to be a refutation? Mishum delo katani, because it did not read kemo shehizik. Because it didn't read like that, we said, well, we have a refutation. However, for technical reasons, it couldn't have read Kemosh Nizik, because lo psika lei. It would not have been an unqualified statement. In other words, as much as we would have liked to write the suggestion, anyone who is not paying in accordance with the value, he would not pay al pi atzmo. For technical reasons, we cannot say that. To restate things, in principle, chatzi nezek really is knas. So why didn't the source state zeh haklal kol she'eino mishalin kemosh hizik? The Gemara explains now. Kevon de'ika chatzi nezek tsuros. There's a unique form of damage and payment. Tsuros are pebbles that are cast up from underfoot of an animal as it's walking along. And the pebble is projected with force as a result of a ton and a half of ox walking on gravel pavement, gravel road. Stones, pebbles can be cast with significant force from underfoot and do damage. That, how much does one have to pay in such a case? The oral tradition says he pays chatzi nezek, half damages. The Gemara says the hilchasa gemiri la de mamonahu. We have an oral tradition that this chatzi nezek payment is a mamon payment. It's not the case of chatzi nezek of a short time. A short time, when we speak about chatzi nezek there, we're talking about damage caused through that which is unusual. Goring, for example, or crouching down on vessels. Those are Karen form payments. But pebbles cast from underfoot of a walking animal is common. It's not something unusual. Therefore, it's not categorized as Karen. Rather, it is mamon. And the oral tradition tells us that this chatzi nezek payment, even though it's chatzi nezek, it nevertheless is a mamon payment. And as a result, he'll have to pay al pi atzmo. So here we have an example of someone that is paying for damage. The amount does not reflect the actual damage. It's not kemosh hizik. And yet, he will have to pay al pi atzmo. Mishum hachi lo katoni. Because of tsuros, the source did not read, as we suggested above, zeh klal kol she'eino mishalem kemo shehizik. So, as I said before, for technical reasons, because of the tsuros example, it couldn't have read that way. Because here we have something that's mishalem, that's eino mishalem kemosh hizik, that does have to pay al pi atzmo. His confession will lead to his having to pay. But other kinds of chatzi nezek, in other words, chatzi nezek of tam, of an unusual damage by a short tam, will not have to pay al pi atzmo. Oh, that's wonderful for Rav Huna, Breder of Yeshua. Vahashta the Amr's Palganiska Knossa, now that we've established that the half payment is Knas, Hai Kalba de Ochal Imri, a dog that ate a sheep, Vishunra de Ochla Tarnagola, or a cat, a common house cat that eats a chicken, Mishunahu, these are unusual events. A dog is not that large an animal that under normal circumstances you would find it eating a sheep alive, meaning attacking and killing a live sheep. A common cat does not attack large birds. Common cats will attack small birds, but not chickens, which are oftentimes quite a bit larger than the cat itself. If that happens, the owner of the dog, the owner of the cat, will have to pay as keren, mishunahu, it's unusual. Now, as a result, v'lo magvina bebovel, we don't collect payments that are mishune in bovel. In bovel, we don't prosecute damages that are categorized as knas. Why is that? Because in order to process legal cases that are knas payments, you need to have specially ordained rabbis for that. Those are called people that received smicha, smuchen. The term ordination that we're using now and the term smicha that we're using is no reflection on contemporary uses of that term. There was an ancient use of the term smicha and ordination that is no longer in practice. In fact, it stopped being part of practice, if I'm not mistaken, in the early Amoraic period. But for our purposes, since in Bovel smicha was not granted, they're not prosecuted there. In order to process knas type payments, which is a reflection on unusual type damage, you need to have rabbonim that are smuchen, and in Bovel they were not there. Vahani mili beravavi, that we're saying that it's mishune for a cat to kill a sheep, for a dog to kill a sheep, or for a cat to kill a chicken. That's hani mili beravavi. It's that if the victim is large chickens, large sheep, so a dog won't attack a large sheep. Aval bezutri urchehu, but small versions of those victims, it's normal for dogs to attack and for cats to attack. And if it's urche, it would then be categorized as a mamon offense, and it could be processed in Bavel. Vi tafas lo mafkino mine, if a victim of, we'll say, a knas payment in Bovel grabbed compensation. That's tofas. He grabbed the value that he experienced as a loss. We will not take it away from him. It's true, we won't initiate a court case involving the unusual type damages. But if the victim didn't go to court and grabbed from the offender, the courts in Bava will not take it away from him. The E. Omar, if, let us say, the victim of the damage didn't grab a payment, and he also is aware that in Bavel he can't have the case tried by the court. So if he says, Kavuli zimna de azlina le'ara di Israel, I want to establish a time that I will be able to go to Eretz Israel to have my case heard, Kavinonle, we establish that for him. There's a Rashi, just a couple lines up from here, says, V'i lo tofas nizik v'amar kavuli zman de leisi badi le'ara di Israel, Kavinonle. If the victim says, I want this offender to go with me to Eretz Yisrael to have my case tried, we establish that. V'i lo ozil, and if he doesn't go, if the offender doesn't go with him, mishamtino lay, we will excommunicate him. Ubein kach, ubein kach, mishamtino lay, this way or that way, we will put him into excommunication, ad de misalik hezeka, until he gets rid of the dangerous animal. And misalik hezeka is simply by killing the dog or the cat. Mida Rabbi Nosson, this necessity of getting rid of dangerous elements, we learn from Rabbi Nosson. And before we read the source, just to go over the last point, the offender, whether a date is established for his case to be heard in Bova, in Eretz Yisrael or not, in the meantime, let's just assume that we know that this is a dangerous animal. He must get rid of it with immediacy, because until he does so, he is to be excommunicated. D'tanya, Rabbi Nosson Oimer, Minayin Shali Gadol Olam Kelev Rabasok Beis. So from where do we know that a person shall not raise a dangerous dog in his house? He should not have literally a shaky ladder, a ladder that poses danger for one who would climb upon it. So you should not have such a ladder in your house. Talmud Lomar Lo Sosim Domin Beveisecha. Literally, is do not place blood in your house. Blood is a reference to things that would lead to bloodshed. Dangerous animal, a shaky ladder, do not have them in your possession. As we approach the new Mishnah, let us point out ahead of time that the Gemara will present several different ways of understanding the Mishnah. Hence, it would be premature on our part to commit ourselves to any, let's say, specific reading of the Mishnah upon the first read-through. So the Mishnah says, Chamisha Tomin v'chamisha Mu'adim. There are five that can be categorized as Tam and five Mu'ad. The tamin are habehema eino muedes, a behema, an animal is not expected. We can say it's not prone to the following: lo ligach, not to gore, v'lo ligof. A body shove, velo loshuch, not to bite, velo lirbots, nor to crouch down upon utensils and destroy them, velo livot, nor to kick. Hashein muedes leechol, an animal is prone to eat food, es haroi lo, food that's fit for it. It's prone to eat that which is designed for animal consumption. The animal is prone to do damage through trampling as it walks along. The shor hamuad is an ox that's gored three times or done any of the unusual damages that we alluded to before three times. Fishor hamazik b'shus hanizik, a damaging shor in the domain of the victim. Rashi points out something that the Gemara will deal with. Fishor hamazik b'shus hanizik afilu keren tomo havei kemuad l'shalim nezik shalim. Even a shor tam keren is a reference to unusual forms of damage that have not happened three times. However, if it happens in the domain, in the private domain of the victim, he'll have to pay full damages. V'ha'odom, and a person. As far as the counting of the five, Rashi makes allusions to that now, but I think that we'll see more about that in the Gemara. Now we have a list of creatures of undomesticated animals, hazev, and we'll translate using common translation, but those who are veterans of Gemara markings know how we hesitate to offer translations for plant and animal life unless we have a very solid tradition on those words. So here we go. Hazev, a wolf, Ari, a lion, a dove, a bear, Nomer, a sometimes translated as a leopard, sometimes as a tiger, Vahabardalus, another creature, Vahanochash, a serpent, Hare Elu Muadim. They are prone to damage. Rabbelozer Omer, Bizman Shein Bene Tarbus Einon Muadim. If they have been domesticated, Rashi says, She Gidlon Odom Bevesu, he's raised them in his house. So then they're not considered Muad. Vahanochash Muad Laolam. The serpent is always viewed as Muad. Midikotoni Hashein Muedes Lechoil. From the fact that the Mishnah says that the shein, damage, the damage done through eating of food, is muad, means it will pay full damages, mechlal debechotzer hanizik atskinon. That would indicate that this Mishnah is featuring damage taking place in the domain of the victim. Because shein, damage done by eating in a public thoroughfare, is exempt. Vikotoni, and it says in the Resha, and we have an arrow to the side which you can align with the arrow above, and it says in the Resha, in the first part of the Mishnah, Behemo eino muedes l'shalem kulei avol chatzi nezik mishalemes. It says the animal is not muad, means it doesn't pay full, inferring, but it will pay half. So we have half payment in the victim's domain. Moni Rabbonan hi. This is in accordance with the opinion of the Rabbonan, the Amri, the Rabbonan who argue with Rabbi Tarfon. This, by the way, is a discussion that we've had in the past as well. So, for those who have been learning with us since the beginning of the Masechta, this is familiar. The opinion of the Mishnah that Chatzi Nezek is paid for Karen-type damage in the domain of the victim is in accordance with the Rabbonan that say, De'amri, they say, Mishune Karen Bechotzra Nizik Chatzi Nezek Hu De'mishalem. That unusual forms of damage, which we categorize as Karen, in the Chotzer HaNizik, in the domain, literally in the courtyard of the Nizik of the victim, all that has to be paid is half damage. Amor Seifa, you continue reading the Mishnah, and what do you see? Shor Hamuad, v'shor hamazik b'shus hanizik, v'adam. This section of the Mishnah is dealing with full payments. And amongst the full payments, notice what we've dashed underline, the damaging ox in the private person's domain, in the victim's domain. He's going to be paying full damage. Oh, I saw in the Rabbi Tarfon. This works out like Rabbi Tarfon, the Omar Mishune Karen Bechotzer Nezek Nezek Shalem Ude Mishalem. Note our dashed underlining, the slashed dashed underlining. Here you see we've emphasized Nezek Shalem Ude Mishalem. Based on the Seifa, couple lines up, you notice Chatzi Nezek Mishalemes, based on the Reisha. Wow. Reisha Rabbonin V'Seifa Rabbi Tarfon. Do we have a Mishnah then that has split authorship? There are no names in the Mishnah. So it's kind of perplexing that you have two authors in the Mishnah. The Gemara says, in? That's right. This is a very uncommon situation. It's not, we'll say, the most desirable situation when trying to unravel, decipher a Tanaic source, but nevertheless, that's what we have to conclude, that we have a split author Mishnah. The Omar Le Shmuel Rav Yehuda, Shmuel says to his student Rav Yehuda, Shinana, wise one, sharp one, Shvok Masnisen, leave aside the Mishnah in attempting to find a single authorship, Veto Abasroi, and follow me. Follow my approach, which is Reisha Rabbonan V'Seifa Rabbi Tarfon. The Reisha that says Tam Mishaim Chatzi Nezek B'Chotzer HaNizek is the Rabbonan, and the Seifa which says that Shor Tam in Chotzer HaNizek pays Nezek Shalem, that's Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Lozer Mishmei de Rav Omar. Now, before we go further, we already saw a diamond. On the side of the Gemara, under our Mivneh, under our structural note, where a diamond is featured, we indicate drachim lahavin mivna mishnah. These are different ways to appreciate the structure of the mishnah. So Rabbi Lozer, in the name of Rav bin Mishmei de Rav Omar, we continue at the top of Daf Tes Zayin. Kula Rabbi Tarfon hi. The entire mishnah is in accordance with Rabbi Tarfon. Reisha, the Reisha that spoke about Chatzi Nezek, Bechotzer Hamiyuchedes Leperos Leechod Mehen, Velozeh Velozeh Leshvorim. It's a courtyard in which one of them has, we have, when we say of them, we mean that you have a Nizik and a Mazik, a Nizik, a victim of the damage, and the Mazik, the offender. It's available for one of them to bring their fruits, and both of them have a right to bring their oxen. Delegabi Shane Havya Lo Chotzer Hanizik. Regarding Shane damage, food related damage, eating of food, there it's called Chotzer Hanizik. Because only the Nizik had a right, we mentioned before only one of them, only the Nizik had a right to bring the fruits there. So his fruits being eaten there, it's considered a private domain of the Nizik regarding food matters. Ulagabi Karen Havya Rishus Harabim. And regarding Karen, damage done by goring, it's not limited to the victim's ox. Perpetrator, offender's ox was also allowed, had permission to be there. So it has the din, has the status of a public thoroughfare, and in a public thoroughfare, everyone agrees that Karen pays only Chatzi Nezek. Rashi at the top says, Kula Rabbi Tarfani, V'resha Lav B'chotzer HaNizik Gemuro Askinon. The Resha is not dealing with a pure Chotzer HaNizik. Mishum Achikotoni Einem Uedes. That's why it uses the expression in the Resha, on the first part of the Mishnah, Habeimo Einem Uedes. Udekomechayev Le'ashen V'regel B'chotzer Miuchedes L'Nizik L'Peros. And the obligation for paying full damages for Shane and Regel is because it's miuchedes lenizik for peros, for it's available only for the nizik to bring his fruits there. Ubekeren chatzi nizik visulo, and as far as Karen type damage, the unusual type damage, and he pays half damages and not more. Mishum de lishvorim hu rishus lishneim ukirshus harabim damya. Let's continue in the Gemara. Omar Rav Kahana, Amrisa Lishmaitza Kamed Rosvid Min Harda. I said over this point, the point that Rav made, that the Mishnah is straightforward, Rabbi Tarfon. The Omar Li, now notice we have a long question marking. Mi motzis mukmis lo kula k'Rabbi Tarfon. Is it really possible to say that the entire Mishnah is Rabbi Tarfon? Hakotani, but it says Hashen mu'edes le'chol es haroi lo. The Shane damage is going to pay mu'ad, means pay full damage. Mu'ad has that connotation as well, that full damage is paid. And what does the Mishnah describe? How does the Mishnah describe Shane? It will pay full damages, roi lo in, only if it eats that which is normal for an animal to eat. Shane roi lo lo. If the animal eats something that's not normal for the animal to eat, it won't pay full damage. Vi Rabbi Tarfon, but if the Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Tarfon, Omar, he says, "Mishunet keren b'chotzer nizik nizik shalem mishalem." For unusual forms of damage, an animal eating something that's unusual for it to eat—that's keren. That's called keren. Karen, literally a horn, but we said goring is unusual, hence Karen means all kinds of unusual damages. It will pay Nezek Shalem. And we're talking here about in the Chotzer HaNizik. Let's read that again. V'i Rabbi Tarfon, if the Mishnah was really authored by Rabbi Tarfon, Omar Mishunah Karen B'Chotzer HaNizik Nezek Shalem Mishalem. And we know that this part of the Mishnah is talking about Chotzer HaNizik. Otherwise, there would be no, the Mishnah would not speak about Nezek Shalem for Shane, for example, in a Rishus HaRabim. And yet, the inference from the Mishnah would preclude Rabbi Tarfon as being the author of the Mishnah. So we're back to where we began. Either you accept Shmuel, but if not, if we're trying to avoid Shmuel's approach of split authorship, what do we do with the Mishnah? Elo li'olam rabbonon hi. The Mishnah is authored by the Rabbonon, that Karen in Rishus HaNizik pays only half damages. So what do we do with the Mishnah though? The Mishnah said that Shor HaMazir Rishus HaNizik pays full damage. V'chisurei mechasra v'hachi katoni. The Mishnah is abbreviated, and the real understanding of the Mishnah is thusly: Chamisha tamim heim. There are five examples of tam, of damage that you would not expect an animal to create. Ve'im hu ardu chamisha san muadin. And if they do the unusual three times, so those five become mu'ad. The animal becomes mu'ad for doing the unusual three times. How many examples of unusual damages do we have in our Mishnah? We have five examples of that. V'shein v'regel mu'adin mitchilasan. Teeth, meaning eating food, and trampling, already at the first damage, mitchilasan at the beginning, they are mu'ad. Full damage has to be paid. V'heichon ha'odoson, and where is the place of their being muad? B'chotzer hanizik, in the exclusive private domain of the victim. We take a look at Rashi. There's a starred Rashi above in the narrow lines. V'im hu'adu chamishosan mu'adin. V'hainu diktoni chamisha mu'adin. And that's what the Mishnah meant when it said that there are five mu'adin. That the five tam, if they repeat the damage, the unusual damage, three times, so those five different examples will become mu'ad. V'hainu diktoni hashein mu'edes le'chol. And that which the Mishnah taught, that the shein is mu'ad for eating, Lav aminyona koi. It's not a reference to the five. Elohochi ko'omar. V'shein v'regu mu'adim mitchilasan. They pay full damages at the outset. They're not unusual. V'hadi katoni v'shor ha'mu'ad v'shor ha'mazik b'shus ha'nizik. And that phrase, which we thought before indicated authorship by Rabbi Tarfon, hochi ko'omar. It means as follows: V'heichon ha'ado ason d'shein v'regel. The shor ha'muad means the shor that becomes a muad. Where will it become a muad that would then necessitate full damage? And I should say, that's inaccurate. Let me repeat that. And where is a shor ha'muad going to pay full damage for shein v'regel? Rashi just said, V'heichon ha'da'osan d'shein v'regel. Not become mu'ad, that was my mistake before, but rather mu'ad meaning full payment. Where is full payment made for shein v'regel? Rishus ha'nizik. So that the reference to Rishus ha'nizik has nothing to do with Karen. Has nothing to do with the unusual. Hence, there's no indication here of Rabbi Tarfon. The Gemara asks, Maskif lo Ravino. Ravino asks, Ha kotoni lekamon, Shor hamazik, Brishus ha nizak, Ketzad. Later, Dav Chof Dalit, the Mishnah makes reference to the same phrase that you see in our Mishnah, and says, well, and how does that come to be? And it goes on to say over there, nogach, nogaf, all kinds of unusual forms of damage. And it says there, Rishus HaRabim, he'll pay half, and Rishus HaNizik, Rabbi Tarfon says, he'll pay Nezek Sholem, and the Chomim will say Chatzi Nezek. So that you have a Mishnah later on that elaborates on this Mishnah. E Amris Bishlama Airi Ba. If you say that our Mishnah, when it says Shor Hamuad and Vishor Hamazik Bishus Hanizik is already thinking in terms of Karen that was Tam in the Rishus Hanizik. Mishum Hachi Kotoni Ketzad. Therefore, the latter Mishnah elaborates on what was on the mind of this Mishnah. So the Mishnah already here knew internally, it knew what Shor HaMazik Rishus HaNizik was, and over there later on it simply exposes what this Mishnah was referring to. So that if you read Shor HaMazik Rishus HaNizak as as a reference to the unusual taking place in the Rishus HaNizik, and then later the Gemara asks, well, what is that? What is meant by that? And it goes on to say goring and body shoves, and it goes on to say that in Rishus HaRabim that would pay half, and in Rishus HaNizik there you have a machlokas tanoim. So then fine, the Mishmachi Kotoni Ketzat, and therefore our Mishnah, which speaks about Shor HaMazik Rishus HaNizik paying full damages, it would be like Rabbi Tarfon. Eloi Amris Lo Airi Ba. But if you're going to say that in this perek, the expression Shor HaMazik Rishus HaNizik is like you said before, is simply a reference to the Shein and Regel paying full damages only, and that is only in a Rishus HaNizik, and it's not talking at all about Karen Tam, the unusual forms of damage. My Ketzad. What does Ketzad mean? Ketzad is a word indicating we're now going to explain that which had been mentioned earlier. But the Ketzad of the next perek of the source that we quoted three lines up would have no meaning. Ella Omar Ravina. Chisure Mechasra Vahachi Kotoni. We should point out our structural note, because as we go on in the Gemara, we have a bow tie shape and also the appearance of Roman numerals. Up till now, we're at the fourth approach to explaining our Mishnah. That's what the four in the diamond indicates. The Roman numerals that you see are explained in the note. Ravina is highlighted in the bow tie. And Shnei Lishonos, Bahofuas Ravina, there will be two versions in Ravina's appearance in the Gemara. So we continue it now in the text. Elam Ravina, Chisurei Mechasre Vachikotoni. The Mishnah is abbreviated, and we should understand it thusly. Chamisha Tamim Heim. There are five examples of the unusual, and hence we call it a Shor Tam, damage that you would not expect it to do. Vim Hu Adu, Chamisha San Hu Adin. And if they repeat any one of those five forms of damage three times, they become a Shor Hamuad. Rashi says, just a couple lines down from here, one or two lines down from here, Rashi, Vim Huadu Chamishasim Wadim, Hainu Pirusha the Chamishim Wadim, Desnam Mas Nisan. The Mishnah opened up by saying there are five Tam and there are five Muad. Here it is. These are the five Muad. Namely, the five Tam, the five unusual forms of damage, like goring and body shoving and crouching down, etc. Those five examples that we mentioned before, if any one of them are repeated three times, they become muad. And as you have five examples of muad. V'shein v'regel mu'adin b'tchilasan. The shein and regel type of damage is mu'ad, pays full from the outset. And Rashi says, these are not part of the counting. V'zehu shor hamu'ad. Rashi says, v'zehu shor hamu'ad, ha de'amoran, that which we've said, v'im hu adu chamishasa mu'adim, the five unusual, if they do it three times, they become mu'ad. Zehu shor hamu'ad hakosu b'parsha. That's the shor hamu'ad that the Torah describes. So that the comment of Zehu shor hamu'ad is really a reflection. It skips backwards to the phrase v'im hu adu chamishasan mu'adin, and that the shein v'reg mu'adchilasan is an expression that is sort of a type of interruption, if you will. We continue. V'shor hamazik b'shus hanizik, and the issue of shor hamazik b'shus hanizik, a damaging ox. We'll say in the unusual, the Karen form of damage in the private domain of the victim, Machloikis Rabbi Tarfon v'Rabbonan. In the second parak of this Masechta, you will find them arguing. V'yesh mu'adim achirim kayotze be'elu, and there are other forms of mu'ad like these, namely the, and this is what we see at the end of our Mishnah, Hazei, Va'ari, Va'dov, Va'barlis, Va'nomer, Va'nochash. Tanya Nami Hochi. And we have a Tanaic source that supports Ravina's approach. So basically in this source you'll see word for word what we have just seen. Chamisha Tamim Hein, V'im Hu Adu, Chamisha San Mu'adim, V'shein V'rege Mu'adim Mitchila San. V'zeu Shor HaMu'ad, V'shor hamazik b'shus hanizik machlokes Rabbi Tarfon v'Rabbanan. V'yesh mu'adim achirim kayotze ba'elu hazei v'ari v'ado v'nomer v'bardalus v'nochash. And now we have our second version. Ika deramu lo mirma. There are those that present the information in the Mishnah is contradictory. Tanan, on the one hand, we say Chamisha Tomim v'Chamisha Mu'adim. There are five Tam, and they can become Mu'ad. So a total of five. V'su Leka, is that it? Just five? And we already know what they are. We mentioned the list before of the in the Mishnah itself. You can see there's goring and that was negicha and negifa, body shove and biting and crouching and kicking. Well, are there only five? Valika, but are there not also what's at the end of the Mishnah? Zev, ari, vadoi, vanomer, vabarlis, vanochash. That would add to the number five of Mu'adim. Umeshani, Omer Ravina. We answer in accord as Ravina says, Chisure Mechasra Vahachi Kotani. And once again, we have the same thing we had before. It's Ravina's presentation. Chamisha Tomim Hein. V'imu'adu Chamisha San Mu'adim. If those specific five unusual forms of damage are repeated three times, then those five will become a mu'ad. V'shein v'regel mu'adin b'tchilasan. V'zeu shor ha-mu'ad. V'shor ha-mazik b'shus ha-nizik machlokes Rabbi Tarfon v'Rabbanan. Now we have yesh mu'adim acherim kayotzvel. There are other mu'adim. No, regardless of the fact that we mentioned five before here, there are other mu'adim. Kayotzvela, that are like the above, in the sense that they will pay full damages. Hazev, Vari, Vado, Vanomer, Vabarlis, Vanochash. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.